Please stand for the salute of the flag. To obtain right to compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, I have provided the date, time, and location of this meeting to at least two designated newspapers. Publish the same in the Asbury Park Press, the official newspaper. File it with the borough clerk and post it notice on the bulletin board in the borough offices. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Do the roll call, please.
Mr. Cashmore?
Yeah, I should have known that was coming.
Mr. Giuliano?
Here.
Mr. DeSalle?
Here.
Mr. Duffy?
Here.
Councilman Lexstein?
Here.
Mr. Knott?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. McGinley? Ms. Bills?
Here.
And Ms. Rue?
Here.
Okay, we have approval of minutes for the meeting of the 12th of March. Discussion or a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Mr. Giuliano?
Yes.
Mr. DeSalle?
Yes.
Mr. Duffy?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
I'll watch your call.
Yes.
Mr. Knott?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Bills?
Yes.
Ms. Rue?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to Alice Marie Gaffney. I have to step down within two, perform a property within 200 feet.
I'm also stepping down because it's a use variance, but I think I'm not part of it.
I will leave you all to your business.
Okay, the application is Alice Marie Gaffney. It's a subdivision.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Rick Brodsky, welcome from Van Sell, from an Aaron, on behalf of the applicant, Alice Marie Gaffney. At the application before you this evening pertains to the property located at 216 Ocean Avenue. It's in your R2 zone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have reviewed the notice. Everything is in good order. I would note, however, that the notice indicates this is a minor subdivision. And normally it would be because it's just two lot subdivision. However, under the Seabright ordinance, if it's two lots, if there are variances required, it becomes a technical, just by word only, major subdivision. So for anyone that's here, it's a technical major subdivision. However, the notice is extremely specific as to exactly what is being proposed in terms of the number of lots that variances required. This is also, as we've indicated, a D variance, which is properly noticed also. So with that, I've marked the jurisdictional packet as A1. I've marked the survey prepared by Charles Sermont, dated 8/13/18, as A2. I have marked the minor subdivision plan by Charles Sermont, dated 9/9/18, as A3. And so again, it's an application for major subdivision, technically. Lot 32, lot 2, into two separate lots. And variances are required. They are lot width, where 50 feet per lot is required, and 37.5 is proposed. Side yard, the existing is 6.8 feet and on the one side and 36.7. Now, where the existing two-family home is, the proposed is 6.8 and 4.2 feet. There's 7 feet side yard is required, and both sides of level. 11 feet is proposed when 15 feet is required. As I've indicated, it's also a D variance because the proposal is to keep the pre-existing non-conforming two-family home, which is already located on the property.
Thank you. Thanks, Gary. And also, I do want to add that that as part of the application, the subject property also includes the seawall lots across Ocean Ave. And for purposes of keeping things consistent, we've sought to subdivide sort of, I guess, the mother lot as well as the seawall lots as well. And that's all noticed and part of the application and shown.
It is. Right, and that's block 23, and they're proposing to be lots 24 point, it's now 124.
Right. Right.
You know, in the past, it has come up that a subdivision of an oceanfront or waterfront property is going to require public access. Did you look into that aspect of it?
I didn't, but it's not a problem. Okay. It's not a problem. As Kerry indicated, the application before you this evening seeks this subdivision approval to subdivide this existing lot into two. And the application also entails a D variance because of the fact that the existing home, which was built, and you'll hear from Alice a little bit about the history. So it was built in 1931, I believe. It was built as a two-family, and it's been used as a two-family since that time, continuously. So there's a two-bedroom unit upstairs and two-bedroom apartment downstairs in the existing building. Alice is looking to maintain that and to subdivide the property to form a new lot for the purpose of the construction of a home for her son to move into. There are no variances that are being requested or necessary with respect to the newly proposed lot. That are proposed, there's a...
Other than the width,
yes. Nothing with respect to construction, size of the home in terms of setback coverage or anything like that. It would be a fully conforming house. You know, what's shown on the plan is it's a footprint of about 21 feet wide by 50 feet deep, so it's about 1,050 foot footprint, so about a 2,100 square foot home that would be proposed for that lot. Hasn't been designed yet, but that's what's proposed.
The proposed lot 201 would then meet all setback requirements.
That's correct. Both side, front and rear, and all coverage required. No variance is being requested.
I have one more question. The lots across Ocean Avenue.
Yes.
So you're proposing two lots. Will each, the ownership of each of those lots be attached to the ownership of the lots on the west side? So that they could not be sold separately.
That's correct.
We would stipulate to that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And nothing would be constructed on, obviously,
right,
on the seawall lots.
Okay.
Did you look into the DOT application for curb cuts in that location?
Application has not yet been made to DOT.
I'll tell you what, I've gone through this, they're not easy.
Yeah.
If they don't recognize that as an approved lot, they won't grant it.
You're talking about for the seawall lots?
No.
Yeah.
Regular.
It would have to be conditioned any procedure.
There are regulations stating only one curb cut per legal size approved lot is granted. And if it's an undersized, unapproved lot, they won't grant it. So you've got an uphill.
We definitely know that that's going to be a condition that's out there. It's an oversized lot as it exists today. It's 10,500 square feet. Minimum lot size required in the zone is 4,000. We've got a lot that's, you know, two and a half times the size, lots square footage wise, as compared to the minimum lot size required. And it's excessive, you know, it exceeds significantly the lot depth required.
required in the zone as well, as you'll hear from Mr. Higgins as we go forward. So we've got sort of a narrow wall block. The proposed lot sizes after subdividing, obviously well exceed the minimum lot size required in the zone. There are two side setback variances that are necessitated necessitated by the proposed subdivision with respect to the existing home. Mr. Higgins will go through that. No changes are proposed with respect to the existing home. What the proposal is to just keep it as is, form the second lot for the construction of the home for Alice's son. So I think that sets forth the subject matter of the application from a zoning requirements perspective. What I'd like to do is just have Allison step up and be sworn just to clarify my overview and answer any questions. Can I correct me if I miss anything?
Can you just raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Allison Marie Gaffney, G-A-F-F-N-E-Y.
Okay, Alice, if you would, you're the owner of 216 Ocean Avenue, correct?
Correct.
And you've owned the property since?
2 years now, over 2 years.
Okay.
I've lived there for over 30.
For over 30. And then prior to, and can you just walk the board through just a little bit of the history of the property in terms of your family's initial acquisition and construction?
The first lot where the house is right now was bought in 1931, and the house was built then, and in 1933, the second lot, which we're proposing to subdivide, was bought. Somewhere along the way, they were merged. And
it was built as a two-family home back then, and it was this a relative of yours that acquired the property?
Yes.
Okay. And as I indicated to the board, what's the sort of driver, what's the driving motivation for the subdivision? What's your intention?
My son would like to, he's here with me, and he would like to build, and Miss Hanley was his godmother, and she was very excited. She became known as Nana, and she fed everybody, and she was her wish. She just died 2 years ago, over 100 years old, that my son would get a subdivision and he would be able to build there.
Okay. And I stated to the board that it's the existing house, right? You're not proposing any changes or anything to that?
No.
Am I correct that there are two units, if you will, in the apartment, upstairs and downstairs, two bedrooms in each one.
Correct.
And you live in the downstairs with?
With my daughter.
Okay. And what kind of tenants do you have? I mean, is it a seasonal tenancy, or do you have a permanent tenant in the other space? How does that
right
work?
Right now, I just have seasonal.
Okay.
The mother and the son.
Mother and son who live there now?
Yes.
Okay. And then do you typically rent it out for summer?
There's a couple. I know there's a couple who come up from Florida.
Right. And how does parking work?
We park in the garage, my daughter and I. It's a two-car garage in the back.
So that's the garage that's existing on the property that's proposed to remain at the rear of the site, the west of the site. Okay.
And across the street is where
the tenant parks.
Yes.
Okay.
Across the street being on the ocean side.
Yes.
The access is indicated by an easement through this property next door?
Yes.
To the garage. And that remains in effect and unchanged by virtue of this application.
To qualify for parking, you have to have, two spaces per apartment?
Well, perhaps she's got, they're proposing to use the existing garage for this home. They haven't talked about this one.
No, the one that's existing is a two-family home, you said.
Oh, yeah, and so she's indicated that the tenants are parking across the street. Are there, how many curb cuts are there on that side of the street?
But you can't legally park across the street.
Yes.
That's overflow parking. It isn't recorded, registered parking, is it?
Well, the ordinance permits parking. The ordinance permits parking on those lots.
Has approved parking for the residents? I don't think so.
Well, it's parking is actually one of the only permitted uses in the CP zone.
Didn't we have a problem in Long Beach with the parking across the street on Ocean Side? I thought it wasn't considered legal parking. It was only overflow parking.
Because they were separate. Yeah, we prohibited it over there, and Ward did, and it was a separate, that the ownership was separate. This ownership is the same ownership.
Same ownership.
So, and we permitted it with others, what's the guy's name? With a bunch of them, and when we've subdivided, I was going to ask, Laura, how many curb cuts are over there? Are there new curb cuts for these, or how are you going to park across the street?
It's a gravel lot.
There's no curb. No curb there, so you can just access it and go back. And how will you designate or mark the two lots so that everybody knows which lot is which and who parks? Is there a proposal for that?
You mean to designate where the subdivision line would be?
Yeah, you're proposing that, well, we're just talking about your proposed lot 2.02, which is your existing home.
So you're putting two cars in the garage?
And then
we need two spots other than are legally qualified.
And they're telling you that lot 12402 is what they're utilizing for the second family.
They're not allowed to get legal parking in a setbacks?
No, the CP zone state, there's no improvements that are permitted, no uses that are, no construction permitted on those lots. The parking, there are no bulk requirements.
I thought we kind of discourage parking on the street except for emergency overflow purposes. I may be wrong. I don't.
Well, I guess this has existed this way since 31, right?
1931.
And we're not changing that. We're not proposing to change.
I think the public access beach allows parking in that.
Definitely allows.
So.
I think
yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then no other, and so then no change is proposed with respect to the existing home, and we're proposing for the new lot to be formed to be a house which will require no variances other than with respect to the lot width to form the lot. And am I right, the house has not yet been designed, but is it your plan to have a garage that would be built underneath, so to speak, that the new house, when that plan is done?
Yes.
So we could stipulate to that.
What did you just stipulate to?
That there would be a garage constructed underneath the new home if it were.
I'm saying that the new proposed new home on
2.01
will be all set back in other zoning requirements.
Correct.
Including parking areas, because that's a waiver option.
Any questions for Alice?
Anybody on the board have any questions at this testimony?
Yeah.
Should we open it to the public?
I remember what it was. Our engineer, and I'm going to put it to the board and to the applicant, has indicated that the sidewalk along Ocean Avenue is in poor condition and should be replaced. You're not proposing new construction yet, but at the time of any construction on proposed lot 2.01, would you stipulate that you would repair the concrete sidewalk along the entire frontage?
Yes.
Yes.
Testimony that's been given to us to this point? Yes,
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mark Lepstein, 1340 Ocean Avenue, unit number 30, Sabrina, New Jersey. Dave, I just want to clarify, in the CP zone, the only permitted use is for the owners to park vehicles in the CP zone.
Correct.
So it's perfectly fine.
But that does qualify as needed parking spaces, or is, okay.
Yeah, I just want to clarify, I'm not saying anything, that's my only comment.
Yeah, that is okay, thank you.
Okay, anyone else in the public has any questions?
Yes, question, please. Rob Markfall, yeah, 224 Ocean Ave.
Can you just repeat that, because I'm...
I'm sorry, Rob Markfall, 224 Ocean.
Rob, can you spell your last name?
Sure, it's a T, ready? It's M-A-R, T as in Tom, O-N, F as in Frank, A-L, D as in Victor, Y.
Thank you.
Rob's one.
And it's just because the acoustics are so bad on any noise.
My concern is the setbacks from the sides, being that they want to cut like, what, 3 or 4 feet less than what the setback rule is?
The requirement is 7 feet.
Okay.
So on their proposed lot that won't have a house on it yet that they're proposing to build on, that would be compliant fully with the side yard setbacks, 7.3 feet and 8.2.
Okay.
The existing home violates the setback on the north side, the south.
South side. 4.2 is that a seven?
No. The existing home, though, without as it is, it's 6.8 on the north side.
Correct.
So it's slightly under as it is on that side.
On the north side.
Then it will be only 4.2 feet to the proposed, their newly proposed subdivided lot, which is their proposed lot 201. So you're correct, it's 4.2 feet on that side.
Would normally have to be 8.
8.
So it's half of what is normally allowed.
Okay, so...
But it's existing.
It could be 7, depending on...
7 and 8.
Total 15.
So I'm directly next door there. And so my concern is that from the property line...
You're south of it.
I'm on the south side,
yeah.
Correct.
So that side, they were built at
7.3.
That's staying 7.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And your house is 2.7.
You're okay. You're 2.7.
Right.
And they're 7.3.
Gotcha.
So you'll have a total of 10 feet between the two. But they're left warming on that side.
Okay. All right. So there was no variance for that side.
Just in between their two new lots.
No worries.
Okay. Just want to clear that up.
That's good.
Is there anybody else in the public who has a question? Please stand and state your name.
Joan, my last name is just as bad as it is. T-A-G-L-I-A-F-E-R-R-O. And I live at One Villarica, so I'm on the west side of their house. And I guess my main concern is that the subdivision is creating two undersized lots, which are not 5 feet, 10 feet, but they're 12 and a half feet short, which is 25%. Of the minimum lot size.
If you're going to make a sign, you're going to have to swear yourself in. If it's just a question, fine.
If you want to make a statement, I'll swear a statement. Do you solemnly swear that that's when you're about to give us the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And you've already stated your name for the record. So you're correct in that in terms of the width, not lot size, because that's
not the width size.
Just the width size, 50 feet is required, and each one of the proposed lots is 37.5.
Each 25% less than what the minimum is required for.
And the lot area, though,
I know
that's a change required. 4,875 is proposed for each lot.
Yes.
Because they're deep, yeah.
Yes. But still, that's
okay, yeah. Agree. Yep.
But that width is a huge amount. We're not talking 5 feet over, 10 feet
it
over.
Is.
We're talking 12 and a half feet undersized. My other concern is the value of my house going down because of the blockage that I'll have from the new construction. You know, we've had this view for 48 years, so it's a little disconcerting with that. And I believe on the survey, we already have this feeling of encroachment because I believe the garage is already sitting on a property line of the existing. It's like right on the property line, the extension.
It does look like it might be the for an accessory building there, they're a little bit cheaper here.
We're doing lot numbers. You don't have your lot number.
I'm 3220.
You're
lot 20?
Lot 20.
Yes, lot 20.
So you're directly behind,
directly
behind one and partially behind two.
Yeah, so there's already this feeling of the beauty of North Beach has always been larger size lots, and now it's like we're just chopping and cutting things down and then building these small, large structures, which take away, I think, from the character of the neighborhood. Even with Northwind, when that was developed, they wanted smaller lots. And I believe you set them at 55. I believe that's their front yard size. And that was done south.
New zoning in that area is 50-foot widths, yes, you're correct.
Yes, so.
Also, if you look at the survey, you'll notice the lot that's in north and the south of the property that they're asking to subdivide now are already existing 37.5 lots. So in one way, if you to make it understand that they're individually equal.
Yes, but when you have something that has nothing on it.
Correct.
Those 50.
No, I don't know if you understood that they were existing.
Yes, I looked at the lots. So it's just, that's my concern is, you know, we're just trying to squeeze too much in a small space.
And you have one of the larger lots in that area. Most of them are smaller, actually, so you're fortunate enough to have a larger lot.
Yes.
That's lot 20?
Yes.
20.
If you go over North Wayne with 7, 8, 9, and 10, they're substantially smaller, but you're fortunate that you do have a larger lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you.
Are there any other people in the public that would like to make a comment or ask a question?
Yeah.
If not, then we'll close the public's motion.
I did have one more question, Rick. I'm looking at the shed that's on the plan. It does look like that's a road on the lot next door, which is lot 3.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I was looking at the garage, the shed here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that your shed?
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's there. I mean, I don't know if your neighbor has any issues with it, but so I'm just pointing that out. And my other question. I mean, if your neighbor is fine with it, I'm just. But I did have a question about the proposed easement that you have in between your two new lots.
Yeah.
And can you describe what that is?
Yeah. So on proposed lot 2.02 on the south property line, you'll see there's reference there to an outdoor shower.
Right.
And there is also a right next to it, to the immediate west, is sort of an alcove, kind of like a staircase enclosure, which are the stairs that lead to the second floor.
One set.
So where the line is proposed to be drawn down the middle of the property, that would result in the existing outdoor shower to encroach over that line by 0.6 feet, and that the steps would encroach by 0.5 feet. So the thought was that to leave everything intact, we would have that, you know, less than 1 foot encroachment, and cure that by virtue of a 2 foot wide easement that would run 35 feet along that common property line. And that would enable, you know, access to the shower and also enable someone to walk into it or maintain it without, you know, encroaching on the neighboring property without permission. So, I mean, look, they could be removed so that they would not encroach.
They could.
But the idea was to try and, on a no harm, no foul type of situation, to cure it by virtue of an easement.
If you look at Charles Sermont's survey of the existing lot, it indicates that same area you're discussing behind the shower actually looks like it's part of the house.
It is. That shower is attached to the house.
There's beyond the shower, they have a shaded area on the
where
surface.
The stairs are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. Isn't that the stairway?
Yes.
That's the stairway.
Here.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
the shower, and there's like an alcove. I actually have a picture of it.
So you see the crosshatch one?
I do.
It juts out? Is that the...
It's a stairway enclosure that's attached to the home.
Oh, it's enclosed. It has a wall to it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture.
The setbacks are based on vertical walls of the existing structure. If it was not enclosed or no roof on it, it doesn't include.
Well, you know, if it's something that would necessitate a setback variance for that,
but it looks like it actually would encroach into the subdivision line.
Right. That's what I was just saying.
That's
what I was saying. That it encroaches about 0.5 feet over the proposed line.
So the shower and the stairway enclosure would encroach into the new lot line.
But it would also set the setback different than it isn't 4 foot 2 inches, then it would be zero.
Pretty much, yeah. Maybe not the shower, but the
less than zero actually encroaches in the property.
Yeah, but certainly the stairway enclosure.
So I mean, the answer is those could be removed. I mean, if it was deemed to be, if it was something that's objectionable, the shower that's there, Can I show you, Carrie? Can we
have this?
This is an aerial that I guess we'll mark is A4.
A4.
The setbacks are based on vertical walls of the projection of the building.
Well, I guess we kind of, I'm going to mark this as A4 with today's date.
Yes.
I'll put my plans around. I only had one, but this was taken by me. But here's what we're talking about.
So the shower doesn't have a roof. It doesn't look like
no, but this
that does. Yeah. Yeah.
It has a roof and a wall to it.
You want to go this way first and then go back the other way?
That's a ground, like, door to the basement.
It's
that's
open up.
Yeah.
Is this flush to the ground, or?
It's up on top, probably a flush, both slant ways.
Right.
So those are certainly things that Alice would like to keep, but, you know, neither of them are...
Well, we'd have to adjust the actual setback easement and timing requirements, and if you're not asking for... You're asking for a 4.2, and actually, in essence, it's, if that wall is to continue to maintain and remain there, then it's zero, wouldn't it?
Yeah, a little less than zero. Goes over the line.
How many other entrances are there? You know, there's entrance.
So where's the entrance that you use, Alice?
In the back here.
Okay.
The vote is separate, and there's a front entrance also that goes right upstairs. And this porchway can be removed, and you can still, oh, there's another doorway. that can be...
That could access the upstairs?
From here also.
Okay.
They were built, I think, later because, you know, just protection, I don't know.
Steve, you want to show it to them?
Yeah.
Right. Are they going to use this entrance for just common there?
This is the little projection that's talking about that. It's this little projection on the side of the house that's sticking out as a wall to the building. It's a stairway.
Yeah. So is the stairway in this area?
No.
Yeah. So the stairway is actually within the main part of the house. This is just an enclosure kind of, you know, you step into before you enter into the interior stairway.
And you could relocate the shower to the rear.
Oh, yes, yes.
I think that would be the better plan because, you know, yes.
That's what we need, the shower, the porch.
Right.
Yeah.
If you didn't have a wall or a roof on it, it would be okay?
Yes, I understand.
Only because, that's if you get the subdivision approved, obviously, as a one single lot, it's fine.
Right, so we're saying, so it would be, so Alice is agreeable to relocating the shower and to removing that alcove.
And then there would be no requirement for the easement because there's nothing else.
And then no easement would be required.
Yeah.
Cleans it up.
It's a little bit messy, yeah. Mr. Chairman, I know we have closed the public, but in light of our question, I think maybe somebody has...
Yes.
Mr....
Mark.
Mr. Bob.
If the subdivision goes through, what are the chances of more variances and changing setbacks coming forth? Once the subdivision's...
If the subdivision were to be approved, stipulation and a condition of it would be that on that newly created lot, which is the one next to you, any construction would have to meet all zoning and setback requirements.
Or they would have to come back to the board and ask for additional variances on that particular lot.
Which would be difficult to prove because they're getting approval based on that, so...
Understood. Okay.
And that's based on the 7-foot, not just that they all, they would have to have that minimum 7-foot.
Minimum, yes.
On the south side.
Right.
They would have to have a minimum 7-foot that's shown on this on the south side.
Okay.
As a condition of getting the subdivision approved.
Okay.
So really can't be changed.
Thank you.
And I am together with the town.
Are any other questions of the board on any testimony that we've been discussing at this point?
I just wanted to roll...
Yes, I have a witness right now.
We'll wait for that.
I don't know.
Yeah, they will discuss it before.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
So I have Mr. Higgins, the planner, professional planner.
Mr. Higgins, you solemnly swear this testimony you're about to give is truthful truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And you say your name and order?
James W. Higgins, HRGGINS.
Okay, and just for everybody's information, we are not...
Not that we know.
Unless we go back to...
And Mr. Higgins has testified before us on many occasions. I'm sure everybody has no objection to accepting his credentials.
Okay, Jim, if you would, you've been accepted as an expert witness. If you could, just describe for the board what you were asked to review in connection with this application and walk the board through your findings.
Sure. Well, I was asked to review the application, obviously. When I do that, I look at the area, I look at the zoning, I look at the master plan, and I come up with conclusions from a professional planning point of view as to whether or not the variances that are being requested can be granted. In this case, you have a lot that's 10,500 square feet approximately in area. It's being subdivided into two lots. One lot, 2.01, will be a vacant building lot that will be 4,875 square feet in area, which is that of 130 feet and a width of 37.5 feet. That width is the only variance associated with that one lot. The second lot is lot 2.02. That would be 5,625 square feet. It'll have a depth of 150 feet. The two lots, the existing lot actually has a 37.5 foot wide section that goes back 130 feet, and then the other half of the lot, 37.5 feet, goes back 150 feet. So the second lot, 2.02, will have the existing residence on it. It will be 5,625 square feet, and there'll be some minor modifications in terms of the walkway access to that site, but otherwise there will be no changes to that site that are proposed, other than what was just discussed about removing the portion of the building so that the setback remains at 4.2 feet. The surrounding land uses in the area, it's an area of mixed lot sizes. There are, within 200 feet of the subject site, there are 27 parcels. Of those 27, 14 have non-conforming lot widths. Many of them have setbacks, and it was not really possible to go measure all the exact setbacks, but many here clearly have setbacks less than the required 7 feet. There are, of the remaining 13 parcels, two are multifamily parcels. They're four family units. So the character of the area, while the zone requires 4,000 square foot lots with 50 foot lot width, and single-family residences, the character of the area is very different than the zoning requirements, and that's not unusual. In any municipality, you always have areas of certain zones that might not fully comply with the ordinance requirements, but at the same time, it doesn't make sense to create a whole series of smaller zones. Along Ocean Avenue, within 200 feet of the site, there are six lots. Of those six lots, three are non-conforming lot width, including two lots on either side of the subject site, each of which are 37.5 feet in width, which is what's being proposed here. The difference is that those two lots are corner lots, which would normally require more width because of the setback on the corner street being requires to be slightly greater. So what's being proposed here is consistent with what's in the area. And again, there are six lots. Three have non-conforming lot widths, and of the remaining three, two are four-family dwelling units. While the lot sizes conform, the uses don't conform. The site is under the R2 zone and requires 4,000 square foot lots.
How many are two?
What's that?
How many locations in the area are multifamily? Two. Is that what you said?
I said, yeah. With fronting on Ocean Avenue within 200 feet, there are two.
Okay. The
zoning is R2, it's 4,000 square foot lots with 50 foot lot width, 7 foot side yard setback, and 15 foot combined side yard setback. The proposed use creates a technical D2 variance for expansion of a pre-existing non-conforming use, because by reducing the size of the overall lot, the courts have ruled that that's a technical expansion of the pre-existing non-conforming two-family structure. So it would require a D2 variance for the existing two-family structure on lot 2.02. There are also bulk variances that are required for both lots, lot width, as has been discussed. And then on lot 2.02, because of the legally existing location of the structure of lot 2.02, it does require a variance on the north side because the setback is 6.6 feet, and on the south side, because the proposed setback, splitting the lot in two, the proposed setback is 4.2 feet. So you need variances from the required one side yard setback and a variance from the required both side yard setbacks of 15 feet, which is required, and 10.8 feet, I believe it is being proposed by this application. So those are the variances that are necessary. With regard to the D2 variance, Well, if you have a D1, the straight use variance would be required to show that the site is particularly suited for the use, or that there was an inherent, the use was inherently beneficial. But with a D2 variance, what you have to show is what's being proposed somehow fits more, makes more sense for the area, fits more into the character of the area. And when you look at this lot, again, this lot is substantially larger than most of the other lots surrounding it to begin with. And by providing the 237.5-foot lots, it fits much more into the character of the existing area. I call this basically the last piece of the puzzle in this area. This lot very clearly at one point in time was 237.5-foot wide lots, and most likely merged as a matter of law when it was acquired by the same owner, when the adjacent one was acquired by the same owner. But what exists here now is something that's actually out of character with the area. What's being proposed is something that is more in character with the area than what currently exists. The municipal land use law, as you noted, section 62, requires that zoning, quote, give, quote, reasonable consideration to the character of each district. And I think what you have here is an application that, while it's not an ordinance, it is a zoning matter that's before the board for adjustment of the ordinance. And this does give reasonable consideration to the character of this district, both the immediate, lots on the immediate side, and the overall character of the area where the majority of the lots are actually have lot widths or uses that are non-conforming. So I think that meets the special reason for the granting of the D2 variance. In terms of negative impact, I don't see any negative impact with regard to the granting of that variance. The use of the property is not going to change. The lot 2.01, that 37.5-foot section, is being subdivided off of the overall parcel. Nothing that's essential to the operation on lot 2.02 occurs under lot 2.01. The parking is all provided on lot 2.02. So that when you look at the function of the lot, I don't think the function is going to change significantly at all. Simply you have a large open area that's out of character with this section of Ocean Avenue. So I don't see any substantial negative impact to the granting of the D2 variance. I think it's more of a technicality. The C variances that are being requested, again, the proposed lot that's being the vacant lot will only C variance will be the width. And the area will exceed the minimum lot area that's required by the ordinance by over 600 feet. And all other requirements of the ordinance will be met, including setbacks, building height, and parking. So there's no detriment there. It actually makes sense when you have a master plan and an ordinance that lot 4,000 square foot lots with single family residences on them to be created. That's what's being created here. So I think that's consistent. With regard to lot 2.02, again, I think what's being done here, when you look at the house, first of all, it looks like a single family house. It doesn't look like a two family house. If you were to take this house, convert it to a single family house, the intensity of use would be exactly the same, maybe even greater, because what you have now are two units with two bedrooms apiece. What would probably happen is that the upstairs unit would be increased in number of bedrooms. So you probably have more bedrooms and a more intense use than what currently exists on the site. So I think what's being proposed here makes a lot of sense. In terms of light, air, and open space, I think that's another consideration. I think what's being proposed here provides more light, air, and open space than what could be developed under your ordinance if this lot were to remain a larger lot. The reason I'm saying that is that when your ordinance requires is a total 15-foot combined side yard setback. So somebody could knock this existing residence down and put a building on the site that had 7-foot setback on one side, 8-foot setback on the other, and a total of 15 feet that you could review and promotion avenue that would be an open space. In this application, you have a total of 25.7, I think it is, feet that are being proposed in terms of setbacks. So there's a lot more open space. You have a break between the two buildings And not only is that better in terms of layout and open space, but it's also much more in character with the area. So, again, I think that there are positive reasons for the granting of the variance, for the variances that are being requested. I don't think there's any substantial detriment. So, depending on substantially outweigh the detriments.
I wanted to clarify one thing you just said, because I wasn't sure. So you were saying if there were no subdivision and they were to remove the existing one, they could build a new single-family home theoretically with the 7-foot side yard setback on one side, eight on the other, and an enormously large house.
It would be, and it could cover 50% of the lot.
Okay.
What's being proposed here, there are houses that clearly don't cover 50% of either lot. The lot 2.02, the house is about 30% coverage of the lot. So that, and the house proposed on 2.01 is about the same size, maybe even a little bit smaller. So, again, in terms of light air and open space, what's being proposed here is far superior to what the ordinance would permit if this lot remains in its current configuration. And I have driving up and down Ocean Avenue, both in Seabright and in Monmouth Beach, it's very clear that there is a movement towards acquiring properties and building large houses. So I think what's being proposed here is a superior planning alternative, and I think that the benefits substantially outweigh the detriments.
And Jim, what about like densities? When you talk about densities, I mean, we've got two still oversized lots. I mean, so is that consistent?
What? Yeah, what's proposed, what exists here is not consistent with the density of this area. It's a little bit, the density is a little bit less than there are two units in terms of density of units per acre. It's a little bit less than what the ordinance would permit. But again, when you look at the size of the house and the configuration of the house, it could be, you could have much more intense use if you had a subdivision that had two single-family residences and converting the north residence to a single-family. That would be more intense because I think there are more people there, because you have more bedrooms.
Questions for Mr. Higgins?
Are there any questions the board has for this testimony? If not, we'll open to the public. Is there anybody in the public that has a question of the testimony of Mr. Higgins? If not, we'll close the public portion. Do you have any other witnesses or a statement?
No further witnesses. I would ask Mr. Chair that based on the testimony that's been provided, which is to maintain the existing home as it exists, create...
Mr. Roger, just before you sum up, and we asked if anybody had any questions of that witness, I just want to make sure nobody had a statement.
Oh, sure.
I just want to give that chance because we weren't 100% clear. Mm-hmm. Thank you. There being nobody in the audience here.
Okay, yeah, Mr. Chair, so just briefly, I would ask that based on the testimony from Ms. Gaffney, I think that what is being proposed makes sense. It's in fitting with the area. This is a uniquely shaped lot in terms of being narrow and deep, which is borne out by the fact that even if the subdivision were to be granted, we end up with two still oversized lots, or lots that exceed fairly significantly the minimum lot size in the zone. The proposed use for the vacant lot, we'll call it, lot 2.01, again, is a modest house that would fit in with the surrounding area. It's for a family member of the property owner. Mr. Higgins' testimony set forth that from a planning and zoning perspective, the variances are justified, that there are that the positive criteria in support of the variances are as he outlined. His testimony that there's no real detriment associated with the application. In fact, there are alternative ways in which this property could be developed potentially, which would result in perhaps more detriment, which would result in a palpable detriment in terms of reducing that light, air, and open space. So for all of those reasons, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I would ask the board's consideration and to act favorably on the application.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a discussion? Any board members have a discussion?
So that's, what travels with 201 if in fact it was sold?
So, thank you. And I'll just go over what they stipulated to because that's part of it. So we'll do that. Proposed lot 2.01, all construction here on would have to meet all setback zoning requirements, including parking. That the lots on the east side of Ocean Avenue will be tied in common ownership, remain in common ownership with the lots on the opposite side. So lot 2.01 and lot 124.01 will remain in one ownership, and lot 2.02 and 124.02, its sister across the street, would remain in ownership with together. They would have to remain in common ownership. The lots on the east side of Ocean Avenue would not be sold separately without the main lot being sold.
Correct, but my question actually is beyond that. What are their conditions of the conformance or lack of same for building on that lot?
There's no building permitted on the east side of Ocean Avenue.
What I mean by that is on 201, am I wrong, on the southerly lot? Let's say that's sold.
Correct.
Okay, what conditions for the construction on that lot?
The conditions are for construction on that lot, we have to meet all zoning.
Okay, that's it, thank you.
Setback requirements, zoning requirements, parking, et cetera.
Okay, thank you.
And we're going to now also stipulate that we're going to be removing that easement.
So I'm going to, at the time, correct.
And that was my question on Mr. Rui's application. They were not able to file the deed until those structures were removed, and I'm not sure.
They would have 90 days to perform that compliance.
That would be, so let me figure. So at the time of construction of lot 201 that the applicant has stipulated, they will repair the sidewalk along the entire frontage. And they are going to eliminate and remove the shower and covered stairwell on the south side that will eliminate the need for the easement. And no subdivision will be perfected until that is accomplished, because otherwise they would have construction over the lot line.
I don't think they're going to remove the staircase. They're going to
the enclosure.
To the enclosure and tuck it into the property line.
Correct.
Now, Kerry, I'm sorry. Are you saying that would have to be done prior to perfection of the subdivision?
Yeah,
according to the deeds?
Yes.
90 days, I believe.
No, it's 190 days.
190 days?
Yeah.
So that would have to be
190?
Whatever.
I think it's 190. Pretty sure.
As long as they understand that it has to be correct.
Yes, because we would not perfect a subdivision that is a violation, that contains a violation.
Okay.
Got it. So I wasn't sure if you understood that. That's why I wanted to bring that up.
No, that's a good point. Okay.
Any other discussions?
I would only say that I don't say very much. I say I don't say very much, but sometimes. And I've been on the board a while, and this is the first time an application has come that has actually bifurcating or subdividing into a less than the variance on the width. It was always when I moved here, I got stuck in a 50 foot to 75 foot R1 zoning variation, which happened next door to us, to an Ocean Avenue, as you may remember, but that was where the gifting of the public access had to be part of the solution, and CAFRA got involved and whatever. Having said that, Mr. Higgins, I thought, for me anyway, was extremely effective in explaining and referencing exactly how this future subdivision will work and merge with the contiguous properties. And I think the aspect of the air and light, and given the compliance of the square footage of the lot overall, in my mind anyway, outweighs the frontage shortage that we would now be faced with. And I just haven't been through that before, so it was an interesting point of clarity that you brought, which I appreciate.
Well, in the past,
the infrastructure could be
many years ago, we were trying to discourage the splitting up of the larger lots in the North Beach area.
Yes.
That's why we changed it to an R1 zone, but this is further north of the North Beach area that we're trying to preserve.
Yes, you're right.
Which we left as an R2 zone. And like Mr. Higgins pointed out, this is very consistent with that. That's one little area that is a little more congested than a lot of North Beach is.
I agree with that.
Normally, I wouldn't be in favor of this unless it was downtown. I feel downtown should be the congested area. North Beach should be a little more open.
Yeah.
But in this situation, I don't know.
That's a good other point.
Anybody else?
No, I have lots 1 and 3 are 37.5 feet, so
yeah, right.
Lots 1.
And it's so deep that it has the volume that the square footage that makes it a decent sized lot.
I'll make a motion to approve the application.
I'll second.
We have a roll call.
Okay. Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Mr. Giuliano?
Yes.
Mr. DeSale?
Yes.
Mr. Duffy?
Yes.
Mr. Knott?
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Bills?
Yes.
And Ms. Rice?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board.
Permitted use in the R3 zone as well. That's basically, it's a lot different than my last application with a lot of awareness and stuff like that. It's pretty much more straightforward and to the point here.
Let me just say that I've worked as day one, the proposed minor subdivision plan prepared by Grant Engineering and Construction Group, C.W. Monter, dated 12-6-16. There has to be a, did I miss it here? And that this is a fully conforming minor subdivision, and as such, do not require public notice. So now, so you're proposing the existing lot to propose into two fully conforming lots. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Each measuring 31.50 feet in width. And
2.63.
And obviously you understand that any post-construction on these lots would have to be fully conforming with all zoning requirements, setbacks, etc.
Correct, yeah, I'm aware of that. And we're actually, that's part of the design phase we're undergoing currently to conform with all those setbacks. Parking, etc., setbacks, parking, building, and lot coverage conforming.
Any other questions from any board members? Let's open it up to the public then. Anyone in the public that has any questions?
Calm down. My health things have changed.
Tough audience.
I know. I'm used to that.
Okay, the public portion is now closed.
I'll make a motion to approve the application. It's conforming and really isn't much to do here.
All right. Well, the stipulation again that any construction must comply with all zoning setback requirements, that we're also have to come to the board.
Correct. And more of that. Thank you.
Could we have a second?
Okay, Mr. Cashman?
Yes.
Mr. Julio?
Yes.
Mr. Duffy?
Yes.
Mr. Lipsky?
Yes.
Mr. Knott?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Hills?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. The twins are screaming.
Change on that, which are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All
right. Any other matters before the board tonight?
Make it to the jury.
But the other group, you're a believer that we are.